Jesus said, if you really want to come after me, he's telling the crowds, if you really want to follow me, Jesus begins to throw down in this chapter of Mark. He's like, you want to follow me? Fine. Here's the deal. Here's where the benchmark is. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Wait a minute, Jesus. You mean I got to deny me? Wait a minute. I'll deny my wife all day long. Praise Jesus. Amen. I'll deny my kids all day long. But wait a minute, you want me, Jesus, to deny me? Why live in a culture that tells me it's all about me? We're not called to conform to the culture, we're called to change the culture.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, one of the things that has been heavy in my heart as of late is the overall concept that we simply talk about the birth of Christ only around the Christmas season or at the end of a year. I think we're doing ourselves a major disservice by regulating the most glorious birth ever to simply one time a year. And so I invite you right now to intentionally take your Bible. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, looking at verse 7, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, What Do We Do With Jesus Now?
Take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2. We're in Luke chapter 2. This is not a misprint. I've been stirred lately with this thought, with this concept of, I think many times inside the church today that we regulate the message of Christmas and Easter to Christmas and Easter. And it began to stir in my heart. I thought, let me get this straight. We're celebrating the greatest birth ever, and yet we regulate it to once a year. And we're celebrating the only resurrection of the only King, and we celebrate it once a year. I began to meditate on that, and I thought for a moment, Heaven, we got a problem that Houston can't fix. And it began to stir in my mind, stir in my heart, and I began to meditate on this and pray about it and marinate on it. And I thought, why on earth are we not preaching and teaching about the birth of Jesus Christ throughout the year? Why are we not celebrating? I mean, celebrating with joy that the King is no longer in the grave. So I began to marinate on that and think about it. And well, today we're going to talk about both. The message title for your notes today is simply this. What do we do with Jesus now? I want you to ask yourself that question right at this very moment, but what am I going to do with Jesus now? We subconsciously, unwittingly, Christmas is over, and if we're not careful, we put Jesus back in his cage. We put Jesus back in his Tupperware container with all the lights, right? I know he's down there somewhere. What will you do with Jesus now? Look at Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 7, and here's what it says in my Bible, and there's a key phrase in there that really just shook me to the core. I've read this hundreds of times, but it really began to stir as of late. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she, who's she? Not a trick question. Mary brought forth her firstborn son, capital S, don't miss that. And wrapped him in swaddling cloths
And what'd she do with them? Well, she laid them in a manger, a feeding trough. Interesting. Don't miss that. Why? Why? Here it is. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Make a mental note of this thought, because there was no room. You know, contrary to what our world thinks, Jesus is not looking just to rent a room in your life. I think that's partially where the American church has went off the rails. That we somehow have come to this conclusion that Jesus is just looking to rent a room. Let me give you an illustration. I have a garage at my home, and well, let me just put it this way. Our cars are parked in the driveway. It's amazing how you go through life acquiring all this nonsense and stuff, and it ends up in your garage. Someone could say, John, I need to put some boxes in your garage. And I would say, oh, that's fine, sure. Let me go make room for those boxes. See, the challenge with that illustration is this. I'm taking your junk, clearing out my junk, and now I got a whole bunch of junk. Because all I did was just make room. It's like making a junk add-on. See, Jesus is not looking for you to go, hey, Jesus, you're really great. You're awesome, by the way. That was really cool how you turned that water into wine. Can you do that again? By the way, I'll make room for you. Let me, Jesus, just clear out the stuff I don't want in my life. Let me keep the stuff I do want in my life. And I'm sure we can find some space for you, Jesus. See, Jesus is not looking to rent a room in your life. He's looking to foreclose on your life. He's not content with having part of you. He wants all of you. He didn't come to this earth as baby Jesus, God incarnate, born in a feeding trough, despised and rejected, falsely tried, falsely accused, brutally whipped and scourged at the post, executed beyond any humane thought. He didn't do that so you and I could just simply clear out a little bit of clutter and stuff him into our lives. No, he wants all of you. That's why the question today is, what will you do with Jesus now? What are you going to do with them? I mean, our culture, you know this, they've hijacked Christmas. The centrality of the gospel of Jesus being born to die, that's no longer the driver of what we do. I don't have to tell you this. We so many times are in a post-Christmas season, and we're really often a post-Christ season as well. We have this ideology that we just regulate that celebration of the birth and the celebration of the empty tomb to twice a year, but I believe Scripture screams differently. I believe that when you look through the lens of the Old Testament towards the cross, when you look back from the New Testament towards the cross, where we are today, I believe when you look through that lens, you will see these drivers that the birth, the cross, and the resurrection is what our lives should be all about. That's a challenge, though, in the culture, isn't it? It's almost like, here comes Christmas, here comes Easter. Let's get Jesus out of his box. No, he wants to be your everything today. That's why here in this verse 7, let's look at this together. Verse 7 again says, she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Think about this. She brought forth, she wrapped him, she laid him in a feeding trough. See, Jesus was born to die. His mission was, he was born to die that you might live. That's great news, isn't it?
Like, I don't care how bad your situation is today. When someone says that I'm going to be born, that I would die to actually take your place, that I'm going to stand in your place, that I'm going to die the death that you should die. Man, that's great news. As you think through that, she wrapped him in cloths. Why? Because there was no room. Jesus, we're too full. Jesus, we haven't hit rock bottom yet, but when we do, we got you on speed dial. Oh, Jesus, we don't think we're in a crisis yet to really warrant you. So, hey, we'll make a deal. Hey, when we do get in that situation, we'll tweet you, Instagram you, Facebook you, maybe even send you an old-fashioned email. You know what I mean, Jesus? No, we got to be about his business all day long. Here's how you get there. Here's the cliff notes. It's when your life is no longer your own. See, as long as your life is still your own, it's going to be a tug of war and a cul-de-sac going nowhere. But man, when you offer everything to him, when you go, Jesus, I'm not going to clear out my garage. I'm going to empty the garage. I'm literally just getting rid of everything so that you can foreclose on my life today. I began to process this and think through it, and there are four parallels I want us to look at here this morning between Jesus coming to this earth and eventually exiting this earth. There's four parallels I want you to marinate on, and I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that as we look at this today, as we bring in supporting Scripture, because you know this, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. I mean, I'm just going to read the Word today. It's going to go forth with power. The Holy Spirit's going to convict. God says this through His Word. My Word is like a hammer that crushes the rock into pieces. That's great news, isn't it? Number one, if you got a pen or something to write with, you're going to need these by lunch. Number one, God brought forth His Son to this earth. Mary brought forth the Christ child to the earth. And here's the key. Jesus was born to die so that I might live. I alluded to that earlier, but I want to emphasize this again. This is so mission critical. See, in God's economy, you live by dying. Let me say that again. In God's economy, you live by dying. I'm talking about dying to self. Just reading this morning in Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer who? It's no longer I. But it's Christ that lives within me. Think about this for a moment. Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die so that you might live. You say, preacher, I hear you, but give me some Scripture. I'm glad you asked. Write it down, John 1:29. John 1:29, this is another one of my favorite verses. It says this in John 1:29, the next day, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Man, that's like awesome news, isn't it? Can you imagine being there on that day? You're John the Baptist. You're a little out there, right? I mean, you got some kind of some eccentric things about you. That's okay. That was John the Baptist, what he did, right? But he's doing his deal, and all of a sudden, he's looking over the horizon, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Isn't that awesome? What about you today? Are you looking at Jesus going, behold, Jesus, that is you and all your splendor, all your radiance, all your preeminence, all your glory. It's just you and you that you're all I want. I don't have to tell you folks this. We all know this. We're all grown up and we've probably tried a thing or two here and there. But you know this, that anything but Jesus will lead you going nowhere. Anything but Jesus will lead you going nowhere. It's Jesus who will set you free. It's Jesus today that will take you from your pit of despair into a hill of hope. It's Jesus today that will do the work only He can do in you, through you, and beyond you. It's Jesus. It's His blood. It's His righteousness. I was thinking through another verse that really stirred my heart, and it's several verses. I'll read them to you. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Paul here says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Just pause there for a moment. That's an insane concept, isn't it? I mean, what do we do in our culture today? What do I do in my selfishness? You do something for me, and I do something for you. Did you read that verse? Did you hear that verse clearly? Let me say that again. Romans 5, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Let me go on here. Then I'll give a thought on it. Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die." Do you see the comparison going on here? Verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." That's hallelujah shouting time right there. You may be the most conservative believer on the planet, but when you hear that, you are tempted to become unglued. You know what I'm talking about? That is just good stuff. "For if when we were enemies..." Boy, this is painting a bleak picture, isn't it? Ungodly, enemies. "We were reconciled to God." How? "Through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice through our Lord Christ Jesus, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." Jesus was born to die that you might live. See, the word says this, that apart from Christ, I'm an enemy of God. I'm a child of wrath. I'm walking in darkness. I mean, it's a bleak, bleak picture. But God demonstrates his own love towards you. And that while you and I were sinners, Christ died for us. Think about this. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and following. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." Are you getting the picture? "That he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." Verse 10, "It was fitting for him, to whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." Isn't that awesome? See, he brings us to glory. He brings us to glory. It's only by Christ and nothing else that you can be set free today. There's no addiction. There's no adultery. There's no whatever in your life today that you think, "Man, if I just try this, I'm finally going to get set free." No, those are lies from the pit of hell, because all they do is keep you enslaved and entrapped and ensnared forever. But Jesus Christ will set you free today. And he will only set you free. He will reconcile you. See, sin has separated us from the Father. By Christ's atoning blood, by his unmerited favor, that grace, that care, he's bestowed upon you, bestowed upon me. We now are brought into reconciliation with the Father. That's why the second thought is this. After Jesus was executed, he was wrapped in grave clothes or strips of linen. After Jesus was born on this earth, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Do you see the comparison? Let me say that again. After Jesus was executed, he was wrapped in grave clothes, strips of linen. After Jesus was born on the earth, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Here's key number two. Write it down. Key number two. The gift of Jesus is to be unwrapped and given away. The gift of Jesus in your life is to be unwrapped and given away. Jesus doesn't just save people so that they can just go to heaven. Stay with me on this. Jesus doesn't just save people just so they can go to heaven. That's a good thing, by the way, amen. I don't know about you, I'm on my way to heaven. But the reality is this, he didn't just save me so that I could just be with him and the Father in heaven. He saved me so that I could be a billboard for his grace, mercy, truth, and glory while I'm here on this earth. Think about these verses. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is that not good? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim, that you might voice, that you might live, that you might model, that you might be that neon sign, that billboard that says, look, my life is no longer my own. I was once walking in darkness, but now I'm walking in the most marvelous light that exists. Francis Schaeffer said it like this: gospel doctrine plus gospel culture equals power. Gospel doctrine plus a gospel culture equals power. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 through 21. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We now implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, Jesus is this gift that is meant to be unwrapped. I remember being back in a youngster, back in Sunday school, back in the day, and we'd always sing that song, This Little Light of Mine. Anyone know that one? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. Hide it under a bush, what? Oh no, I'm gonna do what? I'm gonna let her shine, amen? I'm not hiding under a bush, I'm gonna let her shine. That's the whole point. We have the greatest cure for the greatest disease called sin, and the greatest cure, his name is Jesus. And we just let it shine, man. We just say, oh man, you don't understand who I was. I don't even recognize that guy anymore. Woo! I look at that guy and go, I don't know who you are. I despise that guy. I see a new man. I've ripped off my rear view mirror. I've taken off the side mirrors of my life. I'm looking straight through the windshield. I'm pressing on towards the goal. I'm pressing on towards Jesus. Oh, I want to make a difference. Don't you want to live to be missed? You know the other verses that are so important in this section. Matthew 28:18-20. The great commission, not the great suggestion. I'm going to be with you. I got all power. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing, teaching them, and lo, I'll be with you. Acts 1:8. You will see power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. You'll be my martyrs. You're going to have to die for me. Maybe physically, yes, but certainly we got to die to self. Jesus said, if you really want to come after me, he's telling the crowds, if you really want to follow me, Jesus begins to throw down in this chapter of Mark. He's like, you want to follow me? Fine. Here's the deal. Here's where the benchmark is. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Wait a minute, Jesus. You mean I got to deny me? Wait a minute. I'll deny my wife all day long. Praise Jesus, amen. I'll deny my kids all day long. But wait a minute, you want me, Jesus, to deny me? Why, I live in a culture that tells me it's all about me? We're not called to conform to the culture, we're called to change the culture. Amen? Thirdly, Jesus was executed on that cross, and after he was placed in a grave, a tomb. After Jesus was born, he was placed in a manger, a feeding trough. That's why key number three, write it down, key number three, Jesus just didn't come into the world, Jesus overcame the world. Let me say that again, because if you had one amen in you, that was the time to just shout amen, right?
Let me say this one more time. Ready, church? Jesus just didn't come into the world. Jesus overcame the world.
Amen.
I find this interesting. The irony is that the grave was a feeding trough of sorts as well, as it was a container that King Jesus burst forth from in victory to give life to those who by grace through faith would believe in him. Do you see the two containers that were used? A lowly feeding trough, a manger. This wasn't Grand Jerusalem. This wasn't one of those deals where Jesus came riding in on one of those custom-made, tricked-out chariots, right, with 20-inch wheels. No, he's in a feeding trough on the back 40. But that container called the tomb, just like the manger could not hold my Jesus, neither could the grave. The grave could not hold my king. Think about these verses through the feeding trough and the container that he burst forth from and that he overcame. I don't know about you today, but do you want to be an overcomer? I want to be an overcomer, like all the time. I don't want to live in the Eeyore complex. I don't want to live in the woe is me complex. By the way, those are not apartment complexes. Those are just other complexes. You know what I'm talking about? And when you think through those things there, why would you want to live there? Paul said this, we are more than conquerors. When you look at that in the Greek language, it means this, we have hyper victory. We're not one of these people that say, oh, you know, I got Jesus, but I also got my troubles. Well, I got Jesus, but I also got all these challenges. I got Jesus, and, you know, here's all the different stuff on my horizon, and here's the weather forecast for my life. I know this, that when Jesus Christ takes your life and he radically frees you from the enemy of self, you are no longer your own. No matter what you face, God is better and greater, and he can do whatever he wants to do in your life as you submit to him for his glory and for his praise.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.